Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Exodus with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave will be taking us through Exodus chapter 18, ending in chapter 19, verse 3, where we see that we all have times of trial and tribulation, but when the storm clears, we can rejoice and find rest and praise the God that never left our side, even in the storm. More on that now. Let's join Pastor Dave.
And he was their mediator. He judged their matters for them. And Moses' father-in-law, in verse 14, he saw all that he did to the people, and he said, "What is this thing that you do to the people? Why are you sitting yourself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning until evening? Moses, what are you doing?" And Moses said in verse 15, "Because the people come unto me and inquire of God. And when they have a matter," verse 16, "they come to me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his law." And so remember here, a reminder, God's laws and statutes, they weren't given yet in written form. These were the things that Moses had in his heart. Based on his time spent in communion with the Lord, he would judge these people. 2 to 3 million people. I mean, try to get a picture in your head. Him standing there, sitting there on some type of seat. Imagine how long the line was. I mean, even imagine if our church got in line just to stand before myself or one of the other pastors or elders, how long it would take. Some of you, and I don't blame you, are so impatient that you'll sit here on a Wednesday night or a Sunday and wait to talk. And if you don't get to me or whoever you're waiting for in X amount of time, you say, "Forget it, I'm out of here," right? You'll wait only for so long. Some of you are a little bit more persistent than others, and you'll begin to pace as if I can't see you anyways, you know, and do all sorts of things. And now you're distracting me, and you're making things take even longer because I'm trying to focus on the person who's talking. And some of you just keep talking forever and forget there's somebody behind you. And it's great. I love fellowshipping with all of you guys. I wish we could stay here all night. But here's Moses. And every day, standing before all, millions that we can't even wrap our mind around. That's like the whole city of Rochester. I don't even know. It's probably bigger than that. Imagine. And then you get to the evening time, right? The sun starts to set, and you're like the next person in line. And Moses stands up, and he's like, "Everybody go home. We'll start again all over tomorrow." It's like being at the deli and your number's next to be called and they close down the deli and you got to wait all over again till the next day. Jethro sees this and thinks, "This is insane. This is out of order. This is crazy. We got to do something here, Moses. We got to figure out some type of administration system here to help you out." He says in verse 18, "You are surely going to wear away, both you and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. You are not able to perform it thyself alone. You need help. God is a God of order, and you are out of order. This is ridiculous. Hearken now," verse 19, "unto my voice, and I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, and thou may bring the causes unto God." So he's going to give him three tips. If you're a note taker, number one, Moses, here in verse 19, here's what you need to do. Number one, intercede for the people. You are to bring the cares of the people directly to the throne of God. I find here great parallels between what the Lord through Jethro instructs Moses to the pastor of a church. That my call is to intercede for the church of Christ. In case you're wondering, what is a pastor's job? My main job is found right in the description here of Moses. Number one, to pray for you. Moses, go to the throne of God and pray for these people. Number two, in verse 20, "And then you shall teach them the ordinances and the laws, and you shall show them the way wherein they must walk and the work that they must do." Number two, you are to teach them the word of the Lord. That's my job. to teach you the word of the Lord. Not my opinions, not what a commentary says, not the direction the culture is going in, but exactly what comes from the heart of Jesus Christ. That's my job. Sometimes you'll like it, and sometimes you won't. And it doesn't matter. It's between you and the Lord. You wrestle it out with him, but it's to declare to you the word of God. Moses, as the spiritual leader, as the leader in general over these people, number one, you're to intercede for them. Number two, you're to declare the word of the Lord to them. And number three, verse 21, you shall provide out of all the people able men. You're to select able men. This is something that I'm probably best at my job. I love to pray, but I fall asleep a lot when I pray. I love to teach the word, but I'm not where I want to be in my ability to teach the word yet. So thank you for your patience with me. Number three, this is my best quality. I have all these descriptions. Delegation. Select able men. Delegate. D.L. Moody once said, I'd rather put 10 men to work than do the work of 10 men. And I agree with that. Call men unto yourself that are able, that can rightly divide, that can rightly counsel and use the word of God to minister. So number three, here it is. You need to delegate. Grab able man who can rightly counsel, rightly divide the word of truth. And then he gives a description of these men. Men that fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness. And place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds and rulers of fifties and rulers of ten. And let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be, verse 22, that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. You see, you need to get men that fear me. Men that are not living in compromise and sin. That's our nation's problem. We've lost the fear of God. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34 declares that righteousness exalts a nation, or a nation is exalted by its righteousness. Man, we've wandered from that, haven't we? Men that fear God, women that fear God. We'll talk about that more as we get into chapter 19. So this is to be qualifications. Men of truth, men that hate covetousness. They don't get some sense of entitlement. Man, people, sometimes they get raised up and all of a sudden, hey, there's some sense of entitlement. Hey, Dave, no. Pastor Dave. I'm a pastor now. Elder Dave. There's a sense of entitlement. He's saying here, I don't want those types of guys. Men that aren't covetous, men that they can't be bribed away, men that they can't be bought off. They're sincere in their endeavor to serve the Lord in the ministry. They're focused on Jesus. They fear the Lord. They get what God is doing, and they don't want to disrupt it. They want to be a blessing to it. These are the type of men that I want you to put over my people. And in verse 23, if you shall do this thing, and check out what he says here. And if God commands thee to do so, then you shall be able to endure, and all this people also shall go to their place in peace. And so in between verse 23 and 24, Moses, I guarantee you, sought the Lord. If God commands thee to do so. So Moses, verse 24, he hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law, and he did all that he said after the Lord confirmed it. Church, it is so important that God confirms to you his will. Listen, it's great. I believe that God can speak through a brother or sister, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, a word of direction in your life. But I believe that God in his faithfulness will always give you a word of encouragement directly from him. You need to have whatever you're going to do, whatever next step that you take, confirmed by the Lord. That you can rest knowing that I'm in the center of God's will. And just to encourage you, because so many Christians strive with this, seeking to be in the will of God is being in the will of God. He loves you. He'll protect you from yourself. Verse 25, so Moses chose able men out of all Israel, and he made them heads over the children, the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, rulers of ten. And they judged the people at all seasons, and the hard cause they brought to Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. His sheep came onto my property. She stole my sleeping bag. He ate my manna. Moses would say to those who he delegated to, you guys deal with that. He cheated on, you know, his wife with my wife with me, with this guy or whatever. Those are the more serious things. You bring those to me. I'll judge those things. So Moses, verse 27, let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way into his own land. Chapter 19, verse 1. In the third month, real quick side note, from chapter 19 to the end of Exodus, we're going to just see the Lord cause great revelation to his people of who he is. If you're interested in knowing what your God is like, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not a different God in the Old Testament than he is in the New Testament. Don't be lied to. Many people think that. It's a different God. I don't read the Old Testament. It's a totally different God. That's nonsense. He's the same. It's the same God. And if you want a greater revelation of who this God is that you're worshiping and serving, keep coming out to Wednesday nights because, from this point on in Exodus, it's all a revelation of God to his people. In the third month, verse 1, chapter 19, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. I think that this is wonderful, as it was a little over a year after God told Moses in the burning bush that he'd bring his people here to worship. That God's word always comes to pass. What a year of review this was for Moses and the children of Israel. And here they find themselves exactly where God said that he would bring them to worship. And it says in verse 2 that they were departed from Rephidim, and they were come to the desert of Sinai, and they had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. For you guys that are note takers again, they're going to be here in this Mount Sinai area for almost a year, about 11 to 12 months. They're going to pitch their tents and dwell in this place. Now it gets interesting. Verse 3. Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shall you say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Moses, I have a message for you to give to my people. Verse 4. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and you have seen how I bear you. Notice, please, this language that is used, this metaphor that is used here. I have bear you on eagle's wings, and I have brought you unto myself. This whole path that I've had you on, says the Lord to Israel, was to ultimately bring you to myself. What a parallel for you and I tonight as Christians. Even if you're here tonight and you've yet to commit your life to the Lord Jesus, the path that you've been on, the Lord has allowed in his sovereignty, he's ordained it to bring you, to lead you to himself. That is the reason that God has had you on this path. If you're in a path right now of difficulty, problems, and pain, it's to ultimately bring you to himself. And if you're in a place on mountaintop right now, just a joyful experience, it's ultimately to bring you to himself. He says, this was the purpose for my plan, to bring you to myself. But in greater detail here in this verse, he essentially says, I want you to remember three things. I want you to remember, number one, who you used to be. I want you to remember, number two, where you were, that you were slaves in Egypt in bondage. And then number three, I want you to remember how I cared for you. And he uses the description of an eagle, that I bore you on eagle's wings, how I cared for you with such detail. And I'll break that down in a minute. Unlike the parents of these two children in the city of Rochester, a six-year-old and a four-year-old today, that both fell out of a window, separate incidents. Did you see this? And both had to go to the hospital. Unlike parents like that, I have been right there by your side. I have borne you like an eagle with its wings. What he's talking about here, what was familiar to the children of Israel here, was a griffin eagle. It was well known in that area. It was a symbol of God's relationship with his people. I want to talk to you for a minute about what the griffin eagle would do. First of all, it would build its nest in an inaccessible area, in the middle of nowhere, way out of the way, where the eaglets had to completely, utterly depend on their mother. There was nothing and no one else that would be able to take care of them. They would build their nest on the edge of cliffs and in desolate places where nothing else and no one else was, and they had to completely, utterly be dependent upon their mother. So God did with Israel in the wilderness. He brought them out to a place where no one and nothing else was. There wasn't even food. There wasn't even water. He brought them to a place where they had to be utterly dependent upon him. The second thing I want to inform you of here about this griffin eagle is that they were very protective. They have a very heavy beak, strong legs, sharp curved talons. It was a bird of prey. And in this illustration, the Lord is reminding Israel that I have destroyed your enemies for you. I've destroyed the Egyptians for you. I have fought your battles for you. And then lastly, here in this great illustration of an eagle, these type of griffin eagles, they mature very slowly. It takes them up to 3 years to become mature and to learn how to fly. And God wanted Israel to learn how to become spiritually mature and how to spread their wings and fly, if you would, as a nation. I have borne you like an eagle on its wings. I have taken care of you. I have attentively watched over you, providing for your every need. I've been your all in all. Remember, I'm not just bringing you out this way to teach you about yourselves. I want to teach you about who I am, to bring you to myself, would say the Lord to his people. That's the whole plan. That's the whole purpose of all these desert experiences, of all these trials and tribulations, of all the hardships that you've gone through. I want to bring you to a place where you're completely trusting in me, completely dependent upon me. It's so the same for you and I today. This is what God would say to us, and you're questioning maybe, like, why am I going through this? Why is life the way that is? Why have these cards been dealt to me? Why am I in this predicament? Why aren't these things getting solved, getting better? And God's saying to you tonight, as his people, he's reminding you, listen, I have loved thee. Remember Jeremiah the prophet says it. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Everything that you're dealing with and going through in your life is all to bring you to a place of fellowship with me, a place of oneness with me. Now, therefore, verse 5, if you will obey my voice, notice, if, and keep my covenant, notice, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. We have a relationship between these words, if and then, a conditional covenant. A covenant was a set of rules that govern over people that govern the people. He's saying there's a condition here. If you obey me, then this will be what I will do. This wasn't the covenant that gave them the land of Israel. That was something separate. This was about being a peculiar people set apart unto him. If you obey me, then I will make you a set apart special people. If you would obey me, a peculiar treasure. I think of what Paul said in his prayer of the church in Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. He said, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope that he has given to those he has called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. Isn't that amazing, the love of God for you? I mean, let's just stop for a second, slow ourselves down through this in-depth Bible study and just swallow that. That God views you as his people, his glorious and rich inheritance. Did you feel that way walking in tonight? Did you feel like you were some trophy to the Lord? Some precious prize to the Lord? That's the way that the scripture describes his affection for you. For the joy that was set before him. You. What a glorious thought that is to meditate upon. The Lord is saying to his people here that you are a peculiar treasure. You are God's treasure. I don't know about you, but I don't often feel like I'm God's treasure. I feel like he's my treasure, but I don't feel like I could be his treasure. Do you? Does anybody feel that confident tonight in the way that they behave themselves? In the way that they carry themselves, that I am something special, worthy to be called his peculiar treasure, his rich and glorious inheritance? What language he uses, huh? To describe his affection for you. That totally blew me away today as I was just going over these scriptures. the way that God feels for his people, his creation. And you shall be, verse 6, if you do these things, obey me, you shall be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. A kingdom of priests. What's a priest? A mediator between man and God. You are going to be a mediator to the nations around you, to the surrounding nations. You are going to be a representation of me to them. That's what I'm calling you to be. And we know that Israel dropped the ball with this, didn't they? And so God has called the church, us, in Christ Jesus, to be the light and salt of the world, so that through our good works and our good deeds, that man around us would glorify our Father in heaven. What a wonderful task we have. It's not a heavy burden. It's a privilege. This here is not a heavy burden to get up in front of you and preach the word of God day in and day out. It's not heavy. It's a delight. It's a joy to be used for Jesus Christ. Amen? It is a privilege that we can be called his own, that we can be his light bearers, not the light source. Remember when we learned back in the beginning of Genesis that we, in a sense, have a moonlight ministry, that in just being in the presence of the sun, we reflect his light and we shine for him. The moon is full of craters. The moon has chips and bumps, and it's ugly if you look at it close. And so are we. But that's not the point. The point is that as we stay in the presence of the sun, S-O-N, Jesus Christ, we are just to reflect the light that shines on us to the world around us, to be a light source. What a privilege. May God give you a burden tonight. May God give you a passion tonight. May God overwhelm you with the privilege and the call that we have in Christ Jesus to be a light bearer. These are the things, end of verse 6, that I want you to speak into the children of Israel. Things start really picking up here as we move through the rest of this chapter. Verse 7, Moses came and he called for the elders of the people, and he laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people, verse 8, answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Man, isn't that an illustration of the spirit being willing, but the flesh is so weak?
That concludes our message for today, here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. Let it ride and hit the ground.